It is so good once again to be able to rise on this morning, to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we prepare our minds for the lesson at hand, I would like to encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along. For as many times when the Word of God is being proclaimed, whether in a public setting or a private setting, there are times where individuals will not open up the Word to find out if what is being said is true. But as being a child of God, we are commanded to study. And if we do not study, we will not know whether or not truth is being taught or not. So let's study God's Word and do what is right in His sight. Benevolence is the topic this morning. Benevolence is the topic this morning. As we think about the work of the church, many times we hear preachers preach sermons, teach lessons on edification, and also evangelism. We very seldom hear lessons on benevolence. A little hit here and a little miss there. And I'm just as guilty. I'm not going to stand before you and say I'm not. Just last Sunday, I said a couple of things reference to benevolence. But we're going to look at the primary 9 scriptures that talk about benevolence on this morning, and a couple others to add to it. But benevolence is something that we should be engaged in, not only as a congregation, but also as individuals. There are many times where the individual will try to push off their responsibility on the congregation, and sometimes the congregation will try to push their responsibility on the individual. Both are guilty. But I would like to show you from Scripture how important evangelism, edification, and benevolence is. But we're just going to start with benevolence on this morning. We're going to look at it, and we're going to dissect these scriptures, and we're going to look at them, and we're going to see where we are falling short. I really do appreciate the 4 elders we have and the decisions that they have to make. Brother Lewis, as he prays for deacons, if we had deacons, the elders would not have to look at this and worry about this. The deacons would take care of it. But as it be, we do not have deacons. We have elders, and they are doing a wonderful job. Wonderful job. Benevolence, as the church is concerned, we are limited to what we can do. God has limited the benevolence that we give to help others to saints, just to saints. We get phone calls, we get people to stop by, and they're looking for a handout. Haven't ever heard of the Church of Christ before. But yet they want the church to help them in a situation sometimes that they've gotten themselves into. Now, all is not the case, but many times it is the case. I receive a phone call, and the question is asked, because it goes to the answer machine sometimes. If you help people pay their LG&E, give me a call back. I love those phone calls. I love them. Why? I don't have to call them back. Don't have to call them back. Because they're wanting the church to help them. Well, that's not what we're in the business for. We help out needy saints. And the way that we understand what saint is needy and what saint is not needed, that we get involved in one another's lives. We know when there's a need to be met, and we meet that need. We help that individual. Brother Harper told me a story, and I used this same line the other day, and I really do appreciate him for the things that he say and the things that he do. That a woman had ran off the road, and she was down in the ditch or in the river, and two men looked over the bridge and they asked her, "Do you need some help?" And she said, "You can't help me from up there." And I believe that is the problem that we as Christians run into, where we are asking a question reference to helping someone out where we know good and well that they need help. What is our responsibility? As a church, we are supposed to help them. As individuals, we are supposed to help them. To solve up and take care of the individual real quick, Galatians chapter 6 and the verses 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 10. This is not one of the 9 verses that talk about the limited benevolence that the church can give. This is a scripture that talks to the individual where help can be given anytime. It is not limited to one group of people, but it is for everybody that needs it. I'm not telling you to go out of your way to look for someone to help. I'm not going to tell you to bend over backwards to help anybody. I'm not going to even tell you to try to do anything that you can't do. For the scriptures that we're going to look at, it is going to tell, as you have the ability, you help others. But this scripture teaches, as you have the opportunity. As you have the opportunity. Therefore, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. As you have opportunity. The scripture that was read in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, opportunity was there. Some neglected to seize the moment. Some neglected to help out when they had the opportunity to help out. And I want you to remember this. The help that you fail to give will be the help that you fail to get. That is something that we need to think about. Luke chapter 10, once again, verse 25. "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now, this is a question that a lawyer stood up and asked Jesus Christ. And this is a question that we are pondering in our minds on this day. What can I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we know that we have to obey the gospel. We know that. But what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, let's just take a moment, because some of you may not want to hear this. If you do not love yourself, you have, and I'm taking this up on myself right now, you have my permission to get up and leave. You're telling me that everybody in here loves your own selves. Everybody. I'm still here. I love myself. I don't love myself to the point of putting self above what God's word says. So his word says, love your neighbor, how? As yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Now, how many of us have missed meals lately? How many of us are needing something that need is not being taken care of? See, there's a lot of wants that we have. Oh, I want this, I want that. But those wants can wait. We take care of needs. When we need something, we go out and we get it. Well, what about your neighbor? Your neighbor may need something and he can't go out and get it, or she can't go out and get it, or are you helping them? Because you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. If you have, they should have. And I'm not telling them to give them your stuff. But I'm telling you to take care of a need. There is a difference, again, between a want and a need. We have neighbors that want the things that we have, and it is not our responsibility or obligation to give them those things. But when they need something to suffice, we are supposed to give it to them. When we were little children, the hobos used to get off the train and come by the house and knock on the door and ask for a glass of water. Oh, we thought that was just the funniest thing, and oh, we just got a kick out of it, and we would tell them and point them and escort them around outside the house where the water hose was, because we knew what mom and dad would have said if we would allow them to come in the house. We drunk out of that water hose. It was good enough for us, so it had to be good enough for them. How did we treat them? We treated them the way we treated ourselves. We loved ourselves to the point of when we got thirsty, we went to that water hose, we turned it on, and we got water. If it's good enough for us, it has to be good enough for them. Now, it would have been different if mom and dad were home, and they would have said, no, you go in there and you get them a cold glass of water, then you take it to them. Difference. But grown-ups should know better how to treat people. We as Christians should have been taught by now how to treat people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 29, but he desired to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. What did it say? This man, going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among robbers. The question was asked, who is my neighbor? What is Jesus getting ready to tell him? He is getting ready to tell him who his neighbor is. See, a lot of times we say, well, he lives down the street. He is not my neighbor. We usually say, that's my neighbor, the man that lives next door to me. And really what we say is my next door neighbor. Well, if he's your next door neighbor, you must have a neighbor that lives two doors down, or a block down, or over in another city, or another county, or maybe even another state, or maybe even across the waters. Who is my neighbor? That's what we need to figure out. Verse 31, now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. How many times have we had that attitude? I'm not going that way. I know what's down there on that corner. I know what that man is doing. I know what he's going to ask me. I know that he needs help. I'm going to go the other way. That's what the priest did. He went to the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. A Samaritan now, one that was rejected, saw this man, had compassion on him, stopped to help him. Have you ever stopped to help someone? I know we live in a cruel world now. I know we live in an evil world now. I know that we have people that are trying to do you harm, but have you ever stopped to help someone? I recall stopping one day with my uncle and I to help this man, and we asked him a very simple question, do you need some help? And his answer was yes. He had a flat tire, and we began to help him, and that's exactly what we did. We helped him, but yet he stood by and watched us help him. Do you need some assistance? I believe we need to redirect the question sometime or restate it. Let me give you a hand. Because what we do sometimes, we make a lot of people lazy. So we have to understand what benevolence is all about. It says, the Samaritan, though, he came and he had compassion on this man. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back. Is that not helping? You have helped this man. You have paid his room and board. You paid someone to take care of him. And whatever else it owes, when I come back through, I will pay you that. Have you ever done that for someone? Put them up somewhere, and no matter what it costs, you know, you were willing to do that? Are you ever invited someone into your home? See, this man, he was traveling somewhere. He wasn't going to put him up in his home, but he put him up in the inn. But sometimes we need to put people up in our homes. We need to show hospitality. We need to be benevolent to people, helping them out in their time of need. And he continues in verse 36. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. The one that showed him mercy. Well, again, mercy. We talked about mercy. You're doing something or giving something to someone that does not deserve it. Or helping someone to the point of, why am I having mercy upon you? You haven't done anything. And looking again at grace, unmerited favor, or not getting in the mercy category, not getting what we deserve. Did the man deserve help? According to what this answer was from this lawyer, the one who showed him mercy. No, he did not. But the Samaritan, he's the one that the lawyer is talking about. He's the one that we need to look at his life and look at what he did, and we need to do likewise. We need to do likewise. Benevolence. So we point people in a lot of different directions. And as we point them in that direction, is it the right direction? Is it the right direction? We need to look around and we need to see what's going on. We need to understand who needs help and who does not need help. As we think about our responsibility as being a congregation of the Lord's people, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. We'll start there and we're going to back up a little bit. Acts chapter 11. Verses 27 through 30. Acts chapter 11, verse 27 through 30. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea, and they did so, sending to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Who did they send it to? They sent it to the brothers. They sent it to the saints. Why? Because there was going to be a great famine and they were going to need some help. You know, we talk about needy saints, but yet it's really not a needy saint when you take care of that need. He's no longer a needy saint. You've helped him. You've done what you're supposed to do. But it said the disciples determined everyone according to his ability. Oh, I wish I could help, but I just can't. I can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You don't have the ability to help. Don't worry about it. But who needs to worry about it is that man that has the ability to help and he does not. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying this. In order to be able to help someone as a congregation, we need the congregation to do what they're supposed to, as the scriptures teach in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 1 and 2. As I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. upon the first day of the week. Let everyone lay by in store as God has prospered him. Why? That there be no gathering when I come, or no collecting when I come. Let every one of you, every one of you. Now, Paul was writing to the church of Corinth. He said he had wrote this same thing or told the church of Galatia. It has to be for us as well. We have to give, and this is what we stress. We give upon the first day of the week. Why? Because we see an example. We see a command that was given for them to give upon the first day of the week, an example as well. We do the same. We do the same. And then we use the plates in order to take it up, because we don't want the men running around with their hands, and, you know, hopefully their hands would overflow, because Christians are doing what they're supposed to do as far as giving. So what do we have there? We have command, we have example, and necessary inference. All three. All we really needed was one, but we have all three when they collect it. And I believe that as we do what God tells us to do, everything will be okay. Well, let's keep reading. Let's read down to verse 3. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem, if it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. We're gonna send it. But if you just don't want them to go along, I'll go with them, Paul says. So sometimes we need to help, don't we? This is what the Bible states. This is why we take up a collection, to be able to take care of some needs that need to be taken care of. Let's continue. Brother Ollie, he mentioned that God loves a cheerful giver. You know, if you're going to give grudgingly, keep it. God don't want it. Oh yeah, we as men, we say, oh, it doesn't matter how you give, just give it. Well, if we say that, if we make a statement like that, we're going against God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Well, I love it when I'm able to give. When I'm not, I just say, hey, there's nothing I can do about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that it has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a service test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they have gave according to their means, as I testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor, for taking part in the relief of the saints. This is what they did there. Paul is saying, you know, that these individuals, they were willing to give themselves first. They did what they were supposed to do. We don't preach many lessons on giving here. Why? I believe that everybody is doing pretty good. I just me believing now. I don't go back there and count the money. I don't go back there and see who gave and who did not give. That's not my job. But I do believe that we need to teach about giving and what the giving is for. We need to teach that. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. We're supposed to teach the whole oracles of God, or the whole counsel of God. Not just part of it. Not the parts we like. Not the parts that we think someone else needs. We need the whole Word of God. The whole counsel. The Bible says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture. So therefore, we need to talk about giving and what it is for. Continue with verse 5. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. They gave themselves to the Lord first, and then to us. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They did that. Why did they do that? They did that because they understood the importance of giving. They understood the importance of putting God first And when we put God first, we don't have to worry about anything. What we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, where we're going to live, what we're going to drink. We don't have to worry about those things. Why? Because we are among Christians that believe in the Bible and know when a man needs something. That's why the Word of God is stated the way it's stated. That's why the Holy Spirit inspired men to write these things down. That the man of God, that he don't need anything. When I say the man of God there, I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm talking about the Christian. Doesn't need anything. Because his needs will be taken care of. Continuing on. According, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Excel. You know, a lot of people don't like to hear that. You mean tell me I need to get to this level as well? Yes. Get there. But as you get there, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you can. It's like running a race. I was talking to Brother Mark about this and some others from time to time. When you get out there and run a race, and when you get to the finish line, and you can stand there and talk, laugh, and do all these other things, you haven't put all you needed to in that race. I want you to think about that. Trying to get my brother to run 26.2 miles instead of 13.1. We need to go the distance. You need to excel in these things, Paul is telling them. Are you willing to excel today? Are you willing to give? And you know, you hear preachers and teachers say, give to the hurt. I don't want it to hurt. God doesn't want it to hurt. He wants you to be glad in doing so. Happy. Excited about giving as you are excited about singing. Y'all don't like that, do you? How can I be excited about giving? I have bills to pay. Who made those bills? I have a new car note. What was wrong with the old car? I need a regular suit, Brother Brian. We don't need nothing fancy. We don't need those things. What we need to do is look in the Word of God and do what we're supposed to do. So what do we have so far? We have three scriptures there, or four scriptures that we've looked at. We've looked at Acts chapter 11, verse 27 through 30, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Did we look at that? No, yeah, we did. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting with verse 1. Because we're still talking about, now, you got the giving part down. You believe in giving, but what about in helping? What about in helping? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Now, it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. For the saints now. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. Isn't that good when someone can look at you, look at the congregation, what you worship, and it stirs them up in order to do good works? To be gracious to somebody, somewhere? That's what Paul is saying. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter. So that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we will be humiliated. Oh, I want you to come by and visit the West End congregation. When you come through those doors, we give you a welcome and make you feel like you're at home. And then when you come through that door, somebody look at you and say, what are you doing here? You know what that does? That humiliates us. It makes us feel like, oh, we are not the people that we have heard about. That's what people will say. Don't go over there and visit the West End congregation because they are a sour bunch of people. No, we need to be happy about serving God, and we need to show it to people that come our way. to say nothing of you, but being so confident. So I thought necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. You know, we want to be, it's here, it's ready. Paul, you know, again, Paul, what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you do this and have it ready by the first day of the week, so there'll be no gathering when I come. If I come in the middle of the week and, you know, I'm waiting until the first day of the week, you have already done what you're supposed to. It's already there. We get ready for a gospel meeting Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Wednesday, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Don't laugh, Brother Brian. You're getting old one day, too. We're not going to take up a collection on those days. But on Sunday, we will be taking up a collection, and that collection will be for the members of this congregation, that we may continue to do what God expects us to do, to help out needy saints. Help out needy saints. Romans chapter 15, verse 25. Romans chapter 15, verse 25. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. Material blessings. When you need some aid, something to eat, you may need some monetary funds. Those are those physical blessings, those material blessings. Spiritual blessings, they come from heaven. I can't give you any spiritual blessings. All I can give you some spiritual food, and that's from the Word of God. But material things that we can help someone out with, let's help them. For God is very, very pleased with that. And then there's some other scriptures that we're going to look at on this evening. Those other four are just important as the ones that we have already looked at. The five that we've already looked at, the other four are just important, because it gives us an example of what they did. And I'm going to go ahead and let you know right now that it is not having a church garage sale. It is not having a church bake sale or a church raffle in order to help out saints. You want to do that, you do that on your own. And you're going to find out, if you want to really help them, what you do with those funds. You don't go and you don't say, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this and I'm going to have fun with this money. We're going to see what they did with the money in the New Testament, the first century. What did they do? How did they act? If you're here today and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, do not let this sermon discourage you. Do not think that we're going to ask for your money every time you come through that door. No, you're going to be taught on how to give. That's one of the things that we need to teach you, how to give. People need to be taught how to give, just like we're taught how to love. You're not born knowing how to love. You're born and you're taught. You come into, born into the family of God, and you're taught how to behave yourselves. If you're here and you're not a Christian, if you want to become one, you come and you make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, having your sins remissed in the water of your baptism, added to the body by the Lord himself. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, you have not been fulfilling your responsibility. Maybe your attendance is not what it needs to be. Maybe your giving is not what it needs to be. Maybe your life is not what it needs to be. Repent of that this day. Confess your faults to the Lord, and he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.